friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Manchester City will play Inter Milan on June 10th in Istanbul for European club football's biggest prize, the UEFA Champions League trophy. Man City outclassed visiting Real Madrid on Wednesday 4-0. Portuguese midfielder Bernardo Silva netted two first-half goals, and goals by Manuel Akanji and substitute Julian Alvarez completed the rout. After securing a 5-1 aggregate victory in the semifinal, Man City's manager Pep Guardiola described it as one of the biggest wins of his career.
Now, one of the highest, considering the opponent, Real Madrid, semifinal Champions League, of course. You had to perform well, and we did it, especially in the first half. It was really, really, really good.
It was really, really, really good. And it was sweet revenge for Pep Guardiola and Man City after suffering a painful loss to Real Madrid in last year's UEFA Champions League semifinals.
Listen, I had the feeling these last days that we had the mix of calm and tension, you know, to play this type of games. And after 10 or 15 minutes, I had the feeling that all the pain that we had during one season, 1 year, what happened last season, was today there. So it was so hard, tough last season, when here, last season, we played quite similar like today played. And could be, I remember Toni Kroos in an interview during the year that Madrid is special because we could have lost 10-1 or 10-2 in Etihad, but we could not lose 10-1, 10-2. When Toni Kroos, one of the best players I ever trained and ever seen, say that we were there. And it was really tough, lose the way we lose. And I think in that moment, we had to swallow poison, you have to swallow everything and be kind. And football and sport always give you another chance. And when the draw with Madrid, I said, yeah, I want it. I want it because then I think today we was there, everything. The energy that we had last season during 1 year, that being criticized, these players, but didn't have character, didn't have anything. When we lose because it's football, today was there, and I'm very pleased for the whole organization. And that's why 1 year later, so we are in the final of the Champions League. And always to give you football, always to give you life, always to give you the same opportunities. Opportunities, don't give up, it's try again and try again. Important is to be there. We are one game away to be 3 years in a row Premier League winners, one game away. And if this happened, we are 3 years in a row winning the Premier League, and we have been two final Champions League and one semi-final Champions League. And that is the consistency.
That is consistency indeed. As Pep Guardiola just said, Man City is on the verge of its third consecutive English Premier League title. If the team can win the UEFA Champions League final on June 10th, it would be Guardiola's third Champions League trophy as a manager. He won two with his boyhood team, Barcelona. Meanwhile, his coaching counterpart for Real Madrid, the Italian Carlo Ancelotti, Salati, says Man City was a deserving semi-final winner.
I think that tonight Man City deserved to win because they played better than us. And so last season was different. This season they had, they deserved to reach the final and to fight for the final. They were better than us, as we were better than them last season.
For more reaction to Man City beating Real Madrid, Iron Mike Imbonier spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
I would say that the outcome of the game was a little bit surprising in the sense that, yes, while Manchester City were the favorites to go through, the scoreline did come as a little bit of surprise because these were basically the same set of players that played the first leg, which ended in a 1-1 draw. Real Madrid only made a single change. That's the Brazilian defender Militao starting ahead of the German defender Rudiger. The rest, 21 players, were those that played in the first leg in Spain. So when the champions left in England as Manchester City came around and riots 4-0 over the perennial European champions, it definitely should come as a surprise. And that is not in small part to the way Real Madrid acquainted themselves with the game on Wednesday. They sat back too deeply. They picked up an ultra-defensive style of play, not having the right players to do that. When you look at many of Real Madrid's top stars, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, Karim Benzema, they were not really in their very best form on Wednesday night, and sometimes they were made to play the kind of football that they had not played in the past 15, 20 years or thereabout. So that is, it's a little bit surprised that Real Madrid could come down that crumbling 4-0 against these dreaded and very, very effective Manchester City side.
Some football analysts think that the finals of the UEFA Champions League between Manchester City and Inter Milan will be explosive. What's your take on this?
Well, considering the current form of the two teams that will be contesting the final, I think we could expect some form of explosiveness in the final to be played in Istanbul. But we must not deceive ourselves by not thinking that Manchester City are the favourites on paper. Yes, the City project, since their rich owners took over in the 2000s, has always been that to win the UEFA Champions League for the first time for the club. And Pep Guardiola has never made any secret of this fact. So this seems to be the year for them. All the top guns in Europe have been eliminated, and City themselves are at a very devastating form at the moment. They've overall some 6 points gap in the Premier League, now sitting on top of the table. They've overwhelmed the likes of Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, the Champions League landlords, and now they're in the final against Inter Milan, who many think might be punching above their weight, considering the current form of the players at that particular club. Yes, Inter have won virtually all of their last 6-7 matches in all competitions, and they also have some experience, the likes of Edin Dzeko up front and Lautaro Martinez, the Argentine striker, and in their midfield they can also call on the likes of former Manchester United midfielder Henrik Mkhitaryan. They've got Marcelo Brozovic as well. It will make for some interesting viewing, but I think overwhelmingly on paper, City are the favourites, and many people believe that having dispatched Real Madrid with relative ease on Wednesday night, this is definitely their year.
Fisayo, do you think African players will play any role in the finals of the UEFA Champions League?
I definitely think that at least one African player will be of huge instrument to any of the teams that will win the Champions League final, most especially for Inter Milan. Any hope they might harbour of winning this tournament for the first time since 2010 will rest heavily on their goalkeeper, Andre Onana, the Cameroonian shortstopper. Now, Onana has been in a rich vein of form this year. He's been very, very fabulous in the Champions League and also in the domestic scene. So they will be relying heavily on him. If you want to beat Manchester City, you need your goalkeeper to be exceptional on the night. Even on Wednesday night, when they defeated Real Madrid 4-0, Madrid goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois was absolutely brilliant for up to 25 minutes before they eventually started scoring goals. And also, let me remind the Inside the Sport listeners that the last time Manchester City were in the final of the Champions League 2 years ago, it was an African goalkeeper, Eduardo Mendy of Chelsea, that kept a clean sheet and stopped them from winning their Holy Grail. Now it's the turn of Andre Onana from Cameroon, a very comfortable goalkeeper. And of course, if Inter, led by Simone Inzaghi, would have a chance of winning the Champions League final, a lot will rest on the shoulders of Onana. He has good reflexes, not the highest, the tallest of goalkeepers, but very decent in the air as well. he really, really has to be up for it against the likes of Erling Haaland, against the likes of Kevin De Bruyne. And then for City, Riyad Mahrez of Algeria, who played 12 minutes on Wednesday night, came on as a substitute, might just be also deployed there by Guardiola. So these two Africans would be expected to be on parade in a final in Istanbul.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. Lots of information at voaafrica.com. Pro basketball, the Miami Heat defeated the host Boston Celtics Wednesday night in Game 1 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more.
The Heat took Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals by dominating the third quarter of a 123-116 win over the Celtics in Boston. The Celts led by 9 at halftime, but Miami outscored them 46-25 in the third to take control. Jimmy Butler provided 23 of his game-high 35 points in the second half.
We did a really good job on the defensive end. We shared the ball on offense, made some shots, got a win. But that's not enough for us, and we want to get another one in 2 days.
Bam Adebayo had 20 points and 8 rebounds for the Heat.
I feel like we're one of the best, like you said, one of the best teams in the league just because adversity built us. We all looked each other in the face and said, this is the second playing game. This is our last run.
Jason Tatum scored 30 points for the Celtics, who host Game 2 on Friday.
Sometimes we didn't get back, had some turnovers, spacing. Defensive coverages that we kind of, got mixed up on that, we went over today and shoot around. So a lot of things that we can control to be better at.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The NBA's Western Conference Finals resume later Thursday night in Denver, Colorado. The Denver Nuggets will host the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 2 of that best-of-seven series. The Nuggets won the opener 132-126. The big men for both teams played very well. Nikola Jokic, Denver's two-time NBA Most Valuable Player, posted his sixth triple-double of the playoffs, 34 points, 21 rebounds, and 14 assists. And Anthony Davis of the Lakers tallied 40 points and 10 rebounds. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Sonny Sidos Sports.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndombolo and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Golly, we are here for the BAL final. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top 8 teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off on Saturday, May 20th at the BK Arena in Kigali, Rwanda. The playoffs will culminate with the third BAL final on Saturday, May 27th in Kigali. The top 8 teams from the BAL's Sahara and Nile Conference group phases, held in Dakar, Senegal, and Cairo, Egypt, respectively, will compete in a single elimination tournament in Kigali. That means it's win or go home. Let's take a look at the quarterfinal matchups. On Saturday, Stade Malien of Mali will play the Cape Town Tigers of South Africa, and that will be followed by a game between Rwanda Energy Group and Al Ahly of Egypt. On Sunday, the quarterfinals continue. AS Douan of Senegal will meet Ferro Viario de Beira of Mozambique, and Petro de Luanda of Angola will take on the Abidjan Basketball Club Fighters from Ivory Coast. One woman who will be watching the action in Kigali is Sarah Chan, lead scout in Africa for the NBA's Toronto Raptors team. Sarah appeared on a special VOA BAL podcast with me and Mukbil Yabaro. I asked Sarah about how the BAL has developed through 3 seasons.
The Basketball African League has progressively improved over the years. The team has, they have settled in more. The strength of the BAL rosters exponentially shot up. Clubs are now more sophisticatedly choosing how to scout their import players, and they're more strategic with picking the imports that fill in their specific needs, as opposed to season one, when teams were just signing the best players they could find. Then secondly, the league did a great job of hosting a combine in Paris, France, for aspiring BAL players ahead of the 2023 Basketball African League season. And this falls within the second half of the NBA season and trade deadlines. And then also you could see the strength of the league through import players such as Jerome Randle, the current U.S. Monastir point guard, who is very accomplished in many leagues and around the world, including Australia, and he was very, very successful. So such players, considering the Basketball African League as a viable option, this just goes to show the strength of the Basketball African League so far. and it's only going to get better.
No, absolutely. I like that point you brought up about the combine as well. You know, creating the hype sometimes for a league like this is really amazing. Just to go on that point, do you see a Women's Basketball Africa League being created in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh, man, that's an exciting question. I could see that happening naturally. But I would think that, you know, the most important thing in the initial stages of any league is always you want a good stability before you start something new. But there are a ton of great initiatives around the league for women. And from a women's perspective, not just developing players per se. And this include like the women's camp beforehand in the Sahara Conference that took place. Then secondly, the NBA's commitment to youth programs such as Basketball Without Borders, and generally the women representation in the league, from the sidelines, media broadcasting, like the Asha Them, referees, from scouting perspective like myself, and so forth. So I think I could see it naturally happening, but I think the most important thing about where the league is right now is stability before we start or before anything else starts.
In your opinion, Sarah, if you had to give the BAL a grade for creating excitement about the league itself, what kind of grade would you give the BAL?
I think I would give them the highest grade there is, because from season one all the way through this season three, the BAL has done an excellent job creating excitement around the league, from their power of storytelling and shaping narratives around the teams, from the entertainment quality around sports. If you look at the artists that they're bringing, the musical acts at halftimes, the influencers and the Bobo Them from the art community, the inspirational group of, you know, personnel that they've brought through the entertainment aspect of it. I think it has been such an incredible show so far. Definitely there is a build in excitement. And the fact that my colleagues in Canada and the U.S. constantly asking what is going on the continent with BAL, and, you know, especially during this week, that in itself, I think they've created an amazing buzz and excitement around the league. But also having these games broadcasted on ESPN worldwide is a big deal. And the BAL is playing on NBA TV and so forth. I think the reach that the BAL has is incredible, and I think they've done a great job at creating the excitement around the league.
And Sarah, that reminds me,
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is kind of flexing its multilingual muscles in terms of our Basketball Africa League coverage. We're broadcasting the games on radio in 5 different languages: English,
wow,
French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kenya, Rwanda. So nice, yeah, kind of a broad scope.
Absolutely. Yes. As you spoke on and touched on earlier, Sarah, with the BAL's gender equity initiatives and, you know, having the female referees and the scouts such as yourself, you've made history as right, being the first NBA female scout to Africa. How do you feel about that? And what do you feel like is the next steps maybe for the NBA as it pertains to initiatives like that?
I think, let me just point out the ones that they've already had, like BAL for Her initiative, mm-hmm, which I think is such an incredible and inspiring atmosphere where women come together and the dialogues and just, you know, the women being celebrated is huge in itself. And then if we just talk about from reporting to head coaches to medical staff, scouts to team ownership such as Cape Town Tigers, to young girls that around the league that they usually bring during games for mentorship, and all of that, and just the larger scope of NBA through the Basketball Without Borders and their girls programs. I think they're doing an incredible job with the gender equity initiatives, and I think it's only going to expand more. I am so impressed with what they're doing on the continent, and this is exactly what we need.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Voice of America.
Sarah, kind of a two-part question for you. What's it like to work for Masai Ujiri, and can you comment on the impact he's had on basketball development in Africa?
Man, that's big brother. Masai. Oh, man, what to say, where to start? Masai is an exemplary leader, really. He's one of, I tell people all the time, one of the toughest people there is on me since the beginning of my journey and career. But he is an amazing leader, very hands-on. He's focused on the Toronto Raptors being the best team in the NBA. And his passion for the continent supersedes him, really. Engaging with him on a primary level, I know Africa drives him. He's an incredible father to his kids, an amazing husband to his wife, but just one of the best people you can ever work for, because he will hold you accountable, but he will also push you up to make it happen. And he's always about, uplifting. It's not about us. It's about uplifting the next person. And you can see through the Giants of Africa organization with the programs that we do across the continent. But just, through the Giants of Africa's Build Within initiative, he committed to building 100 courts across our beautiful continent, from Senegal to Kenya to Nigeria to Tanzania to Rwanda, Burkina Faso, and Somalia and South Sudan, just to name a few. But Somalia and South Sudan are so near and dear to my heart because, well, South Sudan is home, but Somalia is similar to home, right? And some of these places people might shy away from going into because there's always the safety factor. But Masai wants to go to every corner of the continent to create access to play, and he is very vocal on the subject of gender equity, building a court in Samburu Girls, building a court in Mogadishu at the Elman Peace Foundation, to visiting refugee camps from Dadaab to Kakuma, to have a front row seat to these places, and to see his heart for the continent, to see his service to humankind, and also just watch him with the Raptors is incredible. But he's first and foremost a good human being, and he's an exemplary leader.
How has the scouting game changed in your mind, ever since you became the managing scout for the Toronto Raptors in Africa?
I'll go back to Masai and his vision for the continent. Mm-hmm. And with the Raptors, we already had scouts on the continent from Senegal to Cameroon to South Sudan and Nigeria way beforehand, I'd say a couple of years back. And so when I started working and working closely with Patrick Engelbert, the director of global scouting for the Toronto Raptors, at that time, it was only one or two other scouts on the continent. And to see how far it has come now, when you go to Basketball Without Borders, and it's about about 20 teams from the league represented there. And then you come to the first season, and it's 20 to almost 30 of the teams that have scouts on the ground. It goes to show you just, what this league represents, but also that the scouting game has changed and there is a movement.
That's Sarah Chan, lead scout in Africa for the NBA's Toronto Raptors team. And Sarah spoke with me and Mukbil Yabaro on a special VOA Basketball Africa League podcast. And that wraps up the May 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.